Now, what do you zombie takeouts doing on my planet? What's up? Welcome to episode 101 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we have a bit of listener submitted. This is from John Taylor on the website, and as far as I know, not the John Taylor from Duran Duran.
Oh, I was such a Duran when I was a kid.
He said, hey gang, just wanted to let you know that I just heard your latest episode and it was dope. Just wanted to say hello and let you folks know, being a podcaster myself, I rarely listen to a new podcast, and I will be listening to Zombie Takeout. Take care and keep raging, John.
Thanks, John. Man.
Glad you like the show. Also, from this one from Michelle from our Facebook page. Congratulations on your 100th episode, John and Scott. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you very much.
And there also was a bit of an exchange with John Phillips on the Facebook page in the comments for episode 100. We're not going to read the whole thing now, but it's definitely worth checking out.
Well, yeah, there's a couple things about, he said that there's a radio drama of episode 4 that explains 3PO's ignorance of Leia on Tatooine. But really, the more you look at 3PO's character, you realize he's a con man.
Yeah. Well, he could have been lying, or he just could have had a mind wipe at some point.
Oh, no. Well, not between when they left the ship and when they landed. I mean,
he knew
the princess from the beginning.
Right, I'm with you now. Yeah.
He was just, you know, trying not to draw attention to...
Oh, yeah, that was a con.
Traveling.
I'm with you now. That was a complete con.
Exactly. I mean, at first I was kind of like, why the hell would he know? And then, of course, there was the Empire never mentioning Yoda, which is kind of strange because, you know, he made the film, you know, they obviously would have had some sort of history together and everything. But, yeah, there's no mention of it. It's all Obi-Wan.
I still have to rewatch the prequels. It's been ages, like I established last time. Didn't he fake his own death after the last lightsaber battle?
No, he escaped.
He escaped, but he dropped the cloak to make Palpatine think he was dead.
Really?
I seem to remember losing the cloak and Palpatine looking at it, and I took that as he did it to make Palpatine think he was killed.
Wow, he's a lot better than I thought, because, I mean, wouldn't Palpatine have been able to have sensed his presence at least?
I don't, because he jumped through a vent of some sort at the very end. Because he knew he couldn't take Palpatine. And I seem to remember him dropping his or throwing his cloak, and that I took that as a way of faking his death.
Not a bad observation, I'll have to see. Well, anyway, I had posted that Mrs. Scotto had a great explanation that the shit with Obi-Wan was personal. Obi-Wan is the person that fucked him up. He probably blames Obi-Wan for everything that's gone wrong in his life,
right?
Even though he brought it upon himself, and you know, probably even was suspicious of Obi-Wan and Padme too,
right? So, well, that was established in 3.
Yeah. So yeah, there was a definite grudge going on between the two of them. That's why he'd give a shit less about Yoda. He probably also viewed Obi-Wan not joining him on the dark side as a betrayal, too, in some odd way.
Yeah.
But yeah, Yoda did what he was expected to do. Mm. And, you know, I got to watch it again, though, to see if he faked his death. Mm. Didn't think of that.
A couple other notes about episode 100. I didn't think I was going to end up listening to this one. I usually listen to the show after it's posted.
Yeah.
I ended up listening to this one in its entirety. You can easily tell the effect that the 3 recording sessions were having on us.
I bet.
Because part 1 is a long but pretty normal episode. We get to Empire and we're getting punchy. As you pointed out, we're both getting punchy. And we're handling it very differently. You went a little further with the cheap jokes and whatnot, and
What?
I just wanted to stay on target and get the damn thing done.
Stay on target.
And as a result, we're starting to get on each other's nerves. And then you get to three, and we're just tired. And you can hear our voices easily.
And then, my friend, you die.
Couple other, one brief correction. When you were talking about Lando's resolution, I made a joke about hot, chocolate milk that was a reference to one of the books. It was supposed to be hot chocolate. I'm
Okay.
sure there were some people out there who know the book I'm referring to. The scene is kind of funny. Lando is drinking this exotic beverage he found on some planet. At the end of the scene, Luke asks him what it is, and he says hot chocolate. A rare cheesy moment in a great book. One other note. I was listening to a recent episode of a podcast called Imperial Trouble, and they were talking about the thing and the recent prequel. And they mentioned something interesting about Joel Edgerton, who's, the male lead in the thing prequel, whose name I have a tendency to mispronounce, who neither of us had, we thought we'd never heard of. He played Owen in the prequels.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have heard of him and seen a little bit of his work.
Yeah, very briefly. Are you kidding me? What do you have, like three scenes in that?
Yeah. Okay, so with that all established, and now that we're done with Star Wars.
Wow. Yeah, there's one other movie to talk about.
Well, on to some news. We'll get to that. A couple of other things before. First story, both of these are from AV Club. Universal to reimagine young Leonardo da Vinci as an action hero. Following up on
What?
David Greuer's recently announced plans to explore the sexy side of the Renaissance with Da Vinci's Demons, a show that will finally reveal the untold and mostly made up story of Da Vinci's youth when he was merely dreaming of the future in between alleged acts of sodomy, Universal has announced its own slightly less smutty young Da Vinci project, Leonardo, a spec script from children's television writer Johnny Kurtzman. As overseen by Watchmen and Hellboy producer Larry Gordon, the action adventure film will find a young Da Vinci on a quest to stop Renaissance Europe from returning to the Dark Ages. Now, I gotta say, yes, it sounds kind of cheesy,
Kind of.
but I loved Watchmen and Hellboy, and Da Vinci is one of my absolute idols. He was the original Renaissance man. I gotta see this. I gotta give it a chance. I'm not expecting much, but I have to see it. And it certainly sounds better than what was the first one? Da Vinci's Demons. That I won't be bothering with.
Only if it's in Leonardo, New Jersey.
And
And there's somebody named Leonardo in it.
yeah, our next story, and this one is oh, this is one of those stories that makes me glad we talk about the movies that we do. Where's Waldo to become a live-action movie?
I've heard about this.
Not to be outdone by Walton Entertainment's recent bid to update Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, MGM has secured the film rights to another nostalgic pastime that helped kids develop basic skills by searching for a person in a distinctive hat. Where's Waldo will get the big screen treatment as a live-action movie, according to a studio press release, which
Now,
also
have they
those
mentioned cast or anything about this,
nope.
or?
It just no dates, no cast, just that it will be a worldwide adventure. Okay, how do you turn that? I mean, okay, we've talked about a lot of movies that don't need to be made. The Fall Guy,
I see The Fall
Candyland.
Guy is going to be a better movie than Where's Waldo?
Candyland is going to be better than this. I really can't see how they're going to turn Where's Waldo into a movie. I've also heard recent word of a Lego movie. I didn't bring it up as a news story because that's pretty much all I could find about it is that it's coming.
Starring some blocks.
Yeah,
Well, wait a minute. If it is a movie entirely done with Legos,
that could be cool.
fuck yeah.
Okay,
That's
if that's
awesome.
the deal, it could be cool. All I know is it's the Lego movie, so.
Yeah, who knows? We'll
You also
to
wanted
be
to
determined.
talk a bit about Akira?
Yes. Yeah, you posted to Facebook that they've made a casting choice.
Kristen Stewart, best known from, and probably only known from the Twilight movies, is going to be playing Kay, the
Wooden Indian appearing in the Twilight movies.
Kaneda's love interest, yeah.
Actress and part-time cigar saleswoman.
I've, as I said in the post, I think I've officially lost interest in Akira.
Well, I don't know if I've made this prediction on, live on the show or not, but I believe this is the prediction. I'll formally state it again if I've done it already. I apologize, but I've got to do it. After they remake Akira, and I think Fooly Cooly, which it's not in the works, but they're going to.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I
That's gonna be Michael
believe
Bay.
you will be much less harsh
Yeah.
on
Oh yeah.
Shyamalan.
Fooly Cooly, if that actually does happen, and I have a sad feeling it will, I probably will reassess Airbender. I don't know if Akira will push me to that, but it may.
You will probably say, "Wow, he didn't do such a bad job after all."
Actually, the only thing that's keeping me from reassessing Airbender now with regard to Akira is the possibility of Oldman and Bonham Carter.
Of them
Gary Oldman, Helena Bonham Carter.
in
Akira. They've been offered the roles
Oh, okay.
of the colonel and, oh, I can't remember her name, but the female of
Gary Oldman
the
is the Colonel.
children.
Totally works.
Yes, I still don't like the whole Neo New York thing. I mentioned this in the blog post. It ruins the whole feel of the movie.
But if they're making a movie in America, they have to
They can't
have an
go.
American setting.
Right. Yeah.
It's why they even had to bother remaking Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Right. Yeah. Good point.
Because no one's going to see them foreign movies.
But isn't I actually I'm not sure where that's set. I'd be again, that's another one. If it's set in the US, that's gonna be unfortunate. It may very well be. Anyway, after all of that front matter, finally,
Yes.
on to this week's movie. And it is from
For the rings.
1987. Peter Jackson's Bad Taste.
No, bad taste. Wait a minute. I watched the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Nope, wrong Peter Jackson. Well, right Peter Jackson, wrong era.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe that it is the same guy, in fact.
So that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, brought to you by Crumb's Crunchy Delights. There's real human in every bite.
And also brought to you by the commemorative Prince Charles and Lady Diana watch. Perfect for synchronizing. All right, this is tough because, well, with my technical difficulties, I've seen this movie now like a week ago. So we begin with a town called Cairo, which I later found out roughly translates to either fast food or food town, which
Yeah.
is also a chain of grocery stores, not only in New Jersey, but in New Zealand as well.
It's Kai translates to food and Horo translates to quickly.
Yes. So we have this town that has disappeared, and a couple of bureaucratic scientists investigating what the hell has gone on. And they found out that the town was in fact invaded by, overran by aliens who have kidnapped, well, the townspeople have taken them. They're not quite sure what happened to them there yet. But they run into these aliens and they immediately begin to do battle with them, and it quickly goes from there. We have these other bureaucrats who are, Soldier of Fortune magazine subscribers, and they drive around with a trunk full of arms, high military grade arms, and
A random car with some Beatles cutouts pops out at some point.
that's what the scientists were driving.
Oh, that was Barry and Derek's car. Now that
Yes,
makes sense.
that was their car. And then there's this other guy posing as a charity and trying to scam people into getting donations for him, who just happens to wander into this town, not realizing that it has been overran by aliens. After they infiltrate the aliens, they understand that they are they're trying to establish a fast food chain made from us. And
Crumb's Crunchy Delights are people.
right. I thought it was Soylent Green.
They
No,
both are.
anyway, I guess they both are. I guess Soylent Green didn't test market well with the aliens, so they went with Prince Crunchy
That
Delights,
was
which
more of a human thing.
is a lot more catchier. I
Yes.
agree entirely. Let's see. How much more should I give of this?
It's really hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues. You can almost say that from the beginning once they get
It's
into the battle.
a lot of gunfire, some shit blowing up, and lots of gore at that point. That's
Yeah,
pretty much the movie.
just absurd amounts of gore. In fact,
Yeah.
one of the titles I wanted to give this episode was Action Movie of the Absurd because it just keeps getting weirder and weirder as it goes on,
Yeah.
and little bits of reality paid attention to.
Now, what I thought was interesting, I looked at Jackson's IMDb. There seems to be a massive jump in the quality of his movies every three films, or every 3 years, I should say, because this was his first feature, or his first full-length movie. And then 3 years later, he does Heavenly Creatures, which is really good, good solid indie movie. Kate Winslet was in it. 3 years after that, he does Lord of the Rings.
I didn't realize Heavenly Creatures was him.
Yeah. So there's every 3 years, he's the qual there's a like this ma marked jump in the quality of his movies. Because Heavenly Creatures was good, but it wasn't quite Lotro. Or Lord of the Rings, I should say. And Heavenly Creatures, of course, was a massive improvement over Bad Taste. And another thing I noticed about Jackson, I think he's a frustrated actor. Because he plays two roles in this. He had a cameo in all three installments of Lord of the Rings, most notably in Fellowship as the big guy holding the carrot when they first get to the town. He had the cameo in Hot Fuzz, and he's done another a number of other movie cameos.
I only picked him out as the guy hanging off the cliff. I didn't realize
Oh
that
yeah.
Derek
He plays
was.
two, as I said, two roles in the movie. He's unrecognizable in one.
Right.
Because in one role he's got the beard and the shaggy hair and it's the Peter Jackson we all know.
Right.
In the other role his hair's a lot shorter and he's clean-shaven and wearing glasses and he is completely unrecognizable. I couldn't believe it was him. I part of me is still convinced the credits were wrong.
Right. And I mean, it looked more like. See, this is a very Python influenced movie, if there ever was one. Because he had a lot of the same mannerisms as Michael Palin
Okay.
doing, like, the Mr. Pithers
Yeah.
character, I thought.
The character kind of reminded me a bit of Eric Idle too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got a bit more Eric Idle, but Palin I can definitely see.
Well, the glasses and everything,
Yeah.
it was just, What was like Arthur Pewty, or
Yeah,
one of
true.
those characters, but yet he was, a complete badass.
Now, interesting thing about this one, it started off as a short film,
Right.
but at some point, they decided to go full length, and they shot the whole thing almost entirely over weekends during the course of 4 years. And it
Nice.
kind of shows at the beginning. The performances aren't quite as good as they could be, but then at some point, about 20 minutes in, it gets much better. I don't know why.
I think we just got accustomed to it because the
Maybe that's it.
performances, I mean, you're not watching this movie for the
No.
performances. There's just no way. The performances are awful.
Actually, they're not bad. They're fun. But I mean, there's no A-class acting in the movie by any
Right,
means.
right. I mean, Peter
They all kind
Jackson's
of
not an
fit the
actor.
roles, though.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. This movie knows what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no stretching, there's no,
Yeah.
it's a comedy more than anything else
Of course.
than a horror movie even. Because and it what it does really well, when a lot of comedies, they have to follow the traditional plot structure, they have to, add some sort of drama before the climax to like make a story out of it.
Yeah.
Instead of adding drama, he just adds more absurdity.
Yeah.
He just piles on the absurdity. You're just like, wait, what the fuck?
And another great thing about this one, it wastes no time setting anything up.
Right.
It starts with a call to some shadowy figure with a false hand that was just like a one digit. He makes a call to the boys, and then you're off.
That's right, the finger tape to the,
Yeah,
yeah, all sorts of finger jokes.
the cigar and but
Now,
it wastes no time setting anything up. It's maybe a 2 minute scene and then we're into the meat of the movie.
it's very much Night of the Living Dead meets Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Yeah.
Because yeah, it starts the same way where you have these two people just kind of wandering in this desolated area, and then all hell just breaks loose from that.
Well, except the two people wandering in the desolated area are the two of the boys, are Barry and Derek.
Well, yeah.
So they don't so much run and hide, so much as kick ass. Which was interesting because Derek has got the glasses and this phone taped to his head, and he looks like the geek of the group. He ends up being the most violent.
Well, yeah, he just goes insane. Well, he loses his
But
mind.
we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But even before then, he's the most aggressive and the most violent, which is a nice twist.
Well, yeah, they totally set it up where you thought he was going to be, either killed. Actually, they do make you think he's dead.
Well, yeah, you think he dies about maybe 10, 15 minutes into the movie, and then he comes back. And I don't want to ruin anything because the way he comes back is hilarious. Or
Right.
the progress of how he comes back. And he ends up kind of being the lead at the end.
Yeah.
There are a couple of very interesting stunts in the movie. There's a sledgehammer fight on a cliff that had some brilliant choreography,
Okay.
which is surprising for this movie because you wouldn't expect any kind of fight choreography.
Well,
But it's basically was it Barry or was it Derek?
I think it was Derek. I know we're
So
both
it was
like
Peter
trying to
Jackson
re-recall
versus
call
Peter.
from like a whole week later now.
Was it Peter Jackson versus himself then?
I think it was.
Okay. And there's this the evil Peter Jackson, the alien, has a sledgehammer, and it's a good fight scene on a cliff, which is kind of dangerous, but they choreographed it perfectly.
Well, there's two things Peter Jackson took seriously in this movie, and that was, I'd say, stunts and makeup,
Yeah.
which, of course, I mean, were the things missing out of Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah. Incidentally, you mentioned makeup. He made all of the masks in his mother's kitchen. The heads of the aliens are bent backwards because that was the only way he could get them to fit into the oven so the latex could be hardened.
And you look at the credits, you think they were a joke
Yeah.
because Peter Jackson's name is on everything. He really did all of this by himself, which is quite impressive.
For
And
only 25 grand.
yeah, although it the New Zealand film
Oh
ins
yeah,
or
it cost him 25 grand initially, and then the New Zealand Film Commission invested another 235 grand into the film, which was, I think that's why it ended up being a feature, because that they had the money to at that point.
Yeah. I wonder what they spent that money on, though. I mean, if he
Yeah.
was planning on just doing this for 25 G's,
He also built all of the replica guns. Those weren't purchased.
They were built.
He built them.
My favorite effect or gadget that was built was the this is so cheesy. The combination lock on the trunk.
Yes.
It's pretty much a calculator sticking out of a velvet box lid. Let me get the combination in. It's just this calculator. And he opens.
Now, of course, the most notable feature of this movie, and the one that had it banned in Queensland until the early 90s, is all the gore.
I thought you were going to see the sheep.
No, we'll get to that.
I had forgotten about that part.
Actually, I should say this is the first time I've ever seen the movie. But the thing that had it banned in Queensland until the early 90s is all of the gore, which is it's notable for. Actually famous for all the gore.
Yeah.
Very Troma, and I don't know if I could say that it was influenced, because I don't know how big Troma was in New Zealand in 87.
Tough to say, but I mean, you can't really call it gory because, well, with the exception of the brain gag, which was of
Yeah.
course goofy as hell,
Oh yeah, I loved it.
but the brains were realistic at least.
Yeah.
The blood, I mean, come on, it was like
Yeah.
this bright red.
And all of the meat and organ was clearly clay that was,
Yeah.
had been softened, yeah. But the other thing that got me about the gore, it pretty much all served the story.
Yeah.
It wasn't just mindless, pointless gore.
With the exception of the brain.
But even that was part of the story. It was a recurring gag. He didn't. None of it was gratuitous, really.
The one thing I'm upset about that I read tonight was that the sheep was supposed to have been a running gag.
There's a scene at the there, I don't even
You
want to ruin
can't
it.
ruin the sheep.
I can't ruin it.
The damn thing had me laughing. It
Yeah,
was almost to the
same here.
point where I had to stop the movie because
Yeah.
I could. I can't believe I'd forgotten about it either. I mean, the only part I really remembered was him not being able to get the car going because the parking brake was on, but that didn't even seem to be that funny this time around. But the sheep, yeah,
Yeah, I can't ruin that.
that had me.
You compared it to Night of the Living Dead.
Yes.
At the beginning, it is kind of a zombie movie.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because you don't see the big bad, the head of the aliens. You just have the minions chasing them, and they basically are behaving like zombies.
Oh, definitely. They're limping around like that. And I love the uniform that the aliens wear.
Yeah.
Those button-down blue shirts.
Pretty much prison outfits.
Yeah,
Prison uniforms.
just about. But something that, he could cheaply buy at whatever store, or probably they already owned.
Yeah,
They all
probably.
owned like a similar shirt for some reason or another, so he just had them all wearing it. But damn, it's just a fun film to watch because
Yeah.
it's just a bunch of dudes that were all friends and coworkers and
Right.
stuff getting together and putting this together.
But there was some more money put into it, 'cause some of the explosions were very impressive.
Oh yeah, that's probably
Towards the
where
end, there are only like three or four, but they're very impressive explosions.
that is probably where the 250,000 went, and
Yeah.
it or 225 or whatever it was. That's probably, I think it was 230 actually, 230. And
235, I have it in my notes.
okay. And
But
then
yeah, that most of
yeah.
that had to go to the explosions and the RPG.
It would make sense that that's, all happened in the end because he got that
That's when he
after
had the
he'd
money.
made most of the film.
Yeah. And I was very impressed that the RPG didn't blow up the entire house. There's a scene where one of the boys shoots an RPG at the house that the aliens are in. It only takes out a room.
Yeah.
In most Hollywood movies, the entire house would be leveled by one RPG.
What, like Jabba the Hutt's
Pretty
barge?
much, yeah.
One laser blast and the whole thing goes down.
Getting to the ending, did that seem like a nod to Rocky to you?
Oh, of course, I have that in my notes. The different, nods, the different movies that he's quoting throughout this thing.
Yeah, there was a reference to they were looking for the ship, and one of them said they found a police box.
Yes.
Or something of that nature. It was an obvious
Yes.
Doctor Who
They
reference.
maybe they came in a police
Yes, that
box.
was it.
Which had me too. Probably didn't get it as much back then, but there's the short cigar, which is a Clint Eastwood
Oh,
thing,
yeah.
obviously.
Yeah.
There was the alien face, which is of course Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Which I think that's was another huge influence on him, obviously.
And then the end, do we want to talk about the ending or
Well, this the house spaceship, is
the
that?
house spaceship, yeah. Which
Yeah.
had to be a nod to Rocky.
Which we can give that away because that's,
Yeah.
I mean, it's only a plot point.
True, true, true.
It's not a gag. You
Another
can't
thing.
give the gags away.
Yeah.
The plot point, eh.
Another point that I think may have been a reference. One of the boys is named Ozzy, and he's got kind of long hair, and he's a metalhead.
Yeah.
In fact, he's the only reason I can get the guy's name straight. Because Derek was Jackson, Ozzy was the metalhead,
Yeah.
and then Frank and Barry, I kind of I can I had a tendency of flipping, but I tried. Those are the only two I had to really keep straight.
I wonder who he's referencing with those two.
I don't know if those were any of the others were references per se.
Yeah.
Derek, Barry, and Frank, but I would assume Ozzy being the metalhead was a reference.
Yeah, I assume he has a point for all the
Oh yeah, I'm
names.
sure there were a ton of inside gags and so.
Yeah. So I think
Yeah, I'm kind of done with my notes.
Yeah, the only thing I'd said was that, I think it was regarding your sledgehammer scene was at least stormtroopers only missed with guns.
Oh yeah, the only thing part I have left in my notes is that there was one scene. Most of the gore, like I said, it was so comical, it didn't faze me,
Right.
except for the vomiting scene.
Oh, yeah, that was
That I could not watch. I
yeah.
actually had to turn away from it at that point.
That was probably the only uncomfortable scene in the movie, really. And
Yeah.
it's, but this is really the original gross out comedy.
Yeah. Oh, also, just looking through my trivia, there was never a script. Each scene was filmed from ideas the director came up with during the week.
Really? You
Which
know,
is, it's surprisingly cohesive for that.
it is. I mean, we've seen stuff where people just improvise stuff and you're just looking, ah, there's no script there, you know? Like, it wasn't that surprising when we found out that, parts of Night of the Living Dead had no
Right.
script, that they were improvising, because the dialogue made no sense.
And even on the better side of the scale, we had speculated that a lot of Tuckabees was improvised.
Right. Oh, definitely. Definitely was. But this, you can't even, you really. It's a surprise because it did look.
It follows a through line. It's very cohesive. It
Yeah.
seems like it was shot all in a week.
Right.
Except, of course, Jackson had needed time to grow the beard for his alien scenes.
Right.
Oh, and one other bit of trivia before we get on the sequels and remakes, I just happened to notice this. Mike Mignette, who played Frank, co-wrote the closing song.
Yes. Yeah, they're kind of, I guess
He must have been
those
in the
two
band.
guys are kind of in the band. Yeah,
Okay.
everybody knew each other.
Yeah. Well, it's a typical first movie in that respect.
Yeah. A New Zealand Clerks.
Okay, on to sequels and remakes.
Or is Clerks just a New Jersey bad taste? I don't know.
Bad Taste was first, so.
Yeah.
The first official biography on Jackson, Peter Jackson, A Filmmaker's Journey by Brian Sibley, reveals that in 1993, after Jackson's third film, Braindead, he approached the New Zealand Film Commission with plans to make Bad Taste 2 and 3 back to back for $7 million. In Bad Taste 2, the heroes of the first film would travel to an alien planet to save alien hunter Derek. Okay, so we gave that away, but it's not really that much of a surprise, given
Right.
everything up to that point. Played by Jackson, in Bad Taste 3, the aliens plan to enact revenge on Wellington with a spectacular aerial battle over the city with dozens of flying houses, buzzy bees, and Santa Claus. Jackson told the New Zealand newspaper, the Dominion Post, he is still interested in making a sequel to the movie. Please make these movies. I have to see that aerial battle.
Oh
I just have to
boy.
see how Santa Claus is used.
Yeah. Why, what do we have to lose? They're making a fucking movie about Where's
Where's Walt?
Waldo?
Yeah. Please,
Give
Peter
us
Jackson,
this.
please give us more Bad Taste.
Yeah. We can
That's
wait for The Hobbit, of
of
course.
course. Well, yeah. So on to Brains.
Yeah, I, 'cause there's really no point in going, like, I can't see remaking this.
No,
With
you
the
don't
same
want to
budget.
remake this. It is beautiful as it is.
Yeah. And if it's improvised,
Yeah.
you can't remake it.
No.
That's the
That's
beauty of
true.
an improvised movie. It's a one of a kind thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, on to Brains.
I was a little torn coming in, but talking about it, you've talked me up. I'm gonna go 4.
Yeah, I'm exactly at 4 also. It was just a lot of fun. I
Yeah.
mean, yeah, the performances, bah, you're not watching it for that.
They're not great, but they're not bad. There's no, it's not hard to watch. It's they have the characters down, they have fun with it.
Exactly. It's because they're having fun with it. There's nobody walking around with a paycheck in their back pocket. They all want to be there, and they're all, I mean, some of them are really selling this or
Yeah.
trying to sell it for God bless them all they can, but
And it's a
talent will
pretty
only take
good
them so
story.
far.
And the whole Derek running gag is brilliant.
Yeah, but the fact that the sheep could have been a running gag too,
Yeah,
God
true.
damn, that would have been beautiful.
Although, I think it might almost be better being a one shot.
Yeah, because it was so out of nowhere.
Yeah. If it was a running gag, it would have been okay that again.
The
The
yeah.
one shot just hits you out of nowhere and floors you.
You're just kind of like, what the fuck was that?
The
Which, of
Derek thing,
course.
I think, was a better running gag. Because
Yeah.
that's something you can compound on.
Right.
So you're going four as well?
Yes, I am.
So what have we learned?
To keep your brain on your person at all times.
And I learned that Derek's don't run. So until next week.
Shouldn't we be running for at least another couple more hours on this?
It feels that way, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that we're ending so early. Oh well.
Go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and now Google Plus. Yes, we now have a Google Plus page. You could also find links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Of course, as we always say, please leave us a rating and a review in iTunes. It'll help us get more listeners. I've also added a Friends of ZTO section, links to Trailer Clash, The Brian Jude Show, and Geek Quest.
Cool.
Of course, you can send us an email if zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail 414-368-ZTO1 or for the alphanumerically challenged 414-368-9861.
Oh, you, my part. You, remember, you'll always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee.
So until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
I'm coming to get you, bastards!
I'll start with the thing from the website, go to Michelle, and then end with John, because I got a couple of a correction and another thing I want to mention about Star Wars. Actually, a couple of things, but okay.
And then we'll be done with Star Wars.